Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we have Maestro of the Brewski, Rob Austin, who has untapped 400 beers. And it's Friday, so that means we have our political roundtable of Eric Elk, Ken Jakubowski, and Dave Lundy. And be sure to get your calls in for our Sound Off segment at 105 and another episode of What's That From happening at 1:30. But now, the favorite show of listeners from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, it's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Patty Vasquez.
Friday night. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. I know that was a tough loss. Sox losing 12-5. Better luck next time. There's always another game. That's the thing about baseball. There's 162 games, and the playoffs don't start today. That's probably for the best. I'm laughing because my good friend Rob Austin's in the studio, and he is a Sox fan. And how are you feeling this season, Rob?
It's been tough. It's been real tough.
A little rough around here. Just Representative Robert Martwick also joining us tonight. We're going to talk about some state issues and national issues coming up after midnight. But thank you so much for joining us tonight, sir.
It's great to be back. It's been too long.
It's been a while. It's been a busy, busy spring. So
It has.
Yes. So thank you for hanging out with us. When I called you earlier, I said, I've got a guy coming in who has tried over 400 beers. But I apologize. It wasn't an invitation to try 400 beers in our studio.
I had kind of hoped. Actually, so it's been one of those weeks down in Springfield. I could have used at least half those.
Yeah, no kidding. Although you can go to, that Arlington's has a good selection of beer, so you can just go right across the street from the Capitol and you're all set. That's someplace. See, now, Rob, how do you decide? Because you downloaded the app Untappd. What made you decide to start logging the number of beers and what you thought about them and sort of comparing notes with other beer lovers?
Well, it was really just a matter of trying to remember what I've had and whether or not I liked it. When you get to a certain number, it's literally hard to remember, have I ever had this before?
Okay.
And if I did, what did I think about it? So this was, and there's just the sort of digital, ruler of how far have I gotten? How big is this thing getting? So,
well, yeah, craft beers, obviously, we all know it's exploded.
Yeah.
And there's everything from, your local breweries, your imports.
Well, Chicago alone is such an amazing place for craft brews. And by the way, craft means not macro, right?
Right.
So, the vast majority of beers are craft beers because they just weren't, they're not made on this enormous scale all over the country. So, so that's still a huge amount of people. I think the last time I was here, I told you that the guy I'm chasing,
uh-oh,
is at like 1,500.
Oh, my God. And here's the thing. How long has it taken you to log about 400 different types of beer to try?
Oh, 3 years.
Yeah, so it's not like...
Yeah. I don't have a problem or anything.
That's over 1,200 days,
right.
1,300 days. So it's
right.
Not like.
But you're going to need to step up your game.
Exactly.
Right.
I am not.
Pace yourself.
This is not impressive on most people's scales.
I think when you say I've tried over 400 beers, because people, and here's the thing, maybe we have, but we haven't kept track, so it's hard to know. And we can't remember what we've tried.
Well, there have been a couple nights where I tried, but I.
Right?
I don't think I succeeded. If I did, I don't remember.
When I get to a place where I don't, where I recognize all the beers but one, I will totally try the one that I just have never heard of.
Okay.
Just to add it to the collection.
Regardless of the style. Because you have, no matter what it is.
Right.
And how's that gone? Just randomly trying stuff?
Not well. But right. Or I will say that the amount of alcohol in the beer is usually proportionate to the enjoyment of the beer.
All right. Interesting. Because we just stopped at Howls and Hood, and they had something called, Uncommonly Tweaked. I think it was a coffee nitro that was really tasty. It was a really nice taste. And nitro is another thing that I was not familiar with until about a year ago. What do you think about that when you walk into a bar and they've got nitro? Are you drawn to that?
That's not my jam.
Yeah.
Not really.
It's a little foamy, a little bit... it's almost creamy.
I think. It's the wrong texture for me personally. But if I see 10, 11, 12, 14%
alcohol,
I'm drawn.
All right. Just let's see how this goes.
Yeah.
Well, because you and I stopped at what's the bar we go to over on Irving Park Road sometimes?
Leader Bar.
To Leader Bar, and they have a Golden Monkey, which I like because it's got a little bit of clove and a little bit of a banana taste to it. But yeah, that's a little bit high.
Yes.
It was at 11 or 12%.
Yeah, I think
somewhere
it was.
It's a weird way to have a business meeting, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I will surprise you.
Downstairs, they had Death's Tar, which is one of Revolution's higher
Wait, there's a downstairs to Leader Bar?
No.
Oh, downstairs here. I'm so confused. I'm not tracking. Yes. Not tracking. Sorry. I apologize. Yeah, I'm so confused. What was the one they have at Howls and Hood?
It's called Death's Tar.
Death's Tar. Okay.
Death's Tar.
And what kind of beer was
Death's
this?
Not the Death's Tar, but rather Death's Tar. It's not a barley wine. I forget what the type of beer it is, but it's delicious. It's aged in oak barrels. It's got a sort of a whiskey aftertaste. It's
Death's Tar.
Yeah.
And what's the alcohol content in that?
I think it was 11 something.
It's okay. That was kind of the point of having you in, was to talk about right. these things. Don't be self-conscious.
No, actually, I think it was higher than that. I think it was like 13 or 14.
Wow. See, that's one of the things I like when bars put that on their menu. Although now you can just Google it. That's one of the things about Untappd, which, right. by the way, if anyone's interested, if you do try out beers and every time you go to a new place or, you know, you see something new on the menu, it's not a bad way to see what other people thought about it.
Correct. Yeah. I wish more people would write their thoughts about it. Most people just sort of put a rating, and that doesn't really tell you how they felt about it. I read an article a year ago. It was three of the micro breweries in Chicago tried macro brews, okay, blind taste tests, where they did like the Miller Lights, the Bud Lights, the Coors Lights, and one of the guys, I forget who, it might have been the main brewer at Revolution, said, there's no such thing as a bad beer. There's just beers you like and beers you don't. And that's,
I guess,
I totally buy that.
Have you ever tried pizza beer? You know how they have like these flavored beers? There's a place out in the burbs that made it was a pizza flavored beer. They have all these, you know, bacon beer. Obviously, there's pumpkin ale in the fall. Those kinds of, you don't sound like you're a fan of that.
You know, I remember back in the 70s, there was a beer called Red, White, and Blue. And Red, White, and Blue was the cheap version, you know, it was the lower entry level, cheaper version of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Really? Yeah. Lower than Pabst.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. So like when you say there's no such thing right. as a bad beer, I don't know if I agree with that.
Man, that's a good point.
I rediscovered Schlitz.
I was going to ask you to meet me at Billy Goat because they have Schlitz. Yeah.
You know what? I had a tall boy for $2 and that thing, it was totally fine, if not good.
That's a good beer with a pizza or an Italian beef sandwich. Of course, your cheeseburger. Cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. Totally pick that in a heartbeat.
Let's take a break here. If any of my listeners have any thoughts on some of the beers they've tried, you know, because it's always funny, obviously, the different tastes that we have. You prefer IPAs. I prefer the the sours, the things like that. I mean, everyone's got a different palate. It just always amuses me when people are like, I can't believe you like that, although I can't believe you like a little something. More to this on 720 WGN. It's a rainy Friday night in Chicago. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. I hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. Joining me in studio on the Pretty Late Show with Patty Vasquez. That's me. I'm Patty Vasquez. I got all confused there in my own introduction, Representative Martwick. So it's a Friday night. It's been a long
week.
You
worked your way through it.
I did. And then I could have just like stuck the landing, and instead I was like, I'm just going to take a step backwards and acknowledge that wasn't quite as smooth as I had hoped it would be. Joining us in studio is Representative Robert Martwick, representing the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District. We're going to talk a little bit about some state and national issues in a little bit, and we'll try to keep it fun and light. We also have Rob Austin, who's in studio. And you, do you want to talk about your company and let people know where they can go to find out more about the work that you do?
Well, sure. I have a company called Worksite. We do a lot of website, IT stuff. Website's worksitellc.com. And if you have a website that needs any updating or don't have a website yet, we'd be happy to help.
Good, some good work. I really enjoy it. If you go to my website, withkindwords.com, you can take a look and see the work that he does. I also I wanted to bring you in because you were talking about we often meet at a like Leader Bar, or one of the bars in our neighborhoods, and I just was so fascinated that you tried over 400 beers, and I tried. You know, I downloaded the app Untappd.
Oh,
but. But
we need to be friends then.
I know, but I think I've logged like 2 beers. I mean, like I've had more than that in the 8 months since I downloaded it. But I just like, so you were saying you wished people would, you know, write their thoughts about the beer. And I just don't want to, think about it that much.
Really? I find it a challenge.
You like the challenge?
Well, I do. I like to write something fresh and new every time. And occasionally, I don't know if this matters or not, Lagunitas does actually toast my check-ins.
Right.
Maybe they do that for 1,000 people. I can't tell. But I always get a cheap thrill when a brewery I like notices that I liked what they were doing.
What else do you like from Lagunitas?
Well, right now, here at this time of year, because I guess beer has crossed a line now where it's sort of seasonal. There's like these little limited releases. Their big thing right now is called Waldo's.
Waldo's. And what kind of beer is that?
That is a triple IPA.
Okay. I'm staying away from that one.
Yeah,
I don't like IPAs. Are just delicious. Bitter to me. They seem angry.
No.
That's not us doing that, by the way. I'm having coffee
and
water.
Don't I wish.
I know.
I had a Waldo's tonight, and it was just, everyone tastes better than the last.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We have a listener who, go ahead, Rob. Representative.
No, I really actually didn't have anything to comment on.
I thought you were saying something.
I haven't had Waldo. Is it something that you can get in the store, or is it something you have to get at the brewery?
It is harder to get now. It's very limited. It's
really?
Probably already harder to find than it was. We have a local bar near us, and I won't say the name because I don't want people to go there and drink it. rotating handle, and the people there, to put it nicely, don't appreciate that that's what's on tap. So I can walk in and be like, I got my stash.
Okay. You know? That is good to know.
Yeah.
We have a listener, Scott, on the line from the 262. Hey, Scott, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, awesome. I mean, just the greetings from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and then the Waldo's with the beer from the day. I mean, it's good. I mean, it tastes good.
You like that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been a fan for just 2-3 years.
Do you have the app Untappd?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be in Milwaukee on Monday for a good 12-14 hours.
Cool.
What brewery should we take a tour of?
The Budweiser, I suppose, because it's, you know, it's got very close to, I mean, it's well planned for their tour.
Oh, that's cool.
I heard it was beautiful. Yeah.
There you go. Well, thank you, Scott, for joining our conversation. I hope you have a lovely weekend. Coming up after the news, by the way, I do want to talk to you. I know we've been talking about beer, when you look at a beer on the menu, do you go by like the description? Like, there are things that catch my attention. If it says like it's got, you know, certain flavors to it, I'm all in.
Absolutely. More about what do I avoid?
What do you avoid?
The sour beers I'm not a fan of.
Right.
And if I see the word floral,
gotcha.
I do literally think I'm drinking a flower, and it does not taste good to me. So that is not my jam.
Do you have any preferences, Representative?
You know, I like IPAs. I mean, that's probably my favorite style of beer. But I guess the thing that gets me is that lately, that's all there is, right? Like, I want to try other things. And it seems like, you know, especially if you go to like some of these liquor stores or grocery stores or whatever that has a good selection, it's like all IPAs.
Yeah, I agree. Let's take a break here. There's so many IPAs. I'm up to here with the IPAs. More after this on 720 WGN. You know what? Let's switch up our Freak Out Friday for once. There's plenty to freak out about. And that's not just what's going on politically, but I think socially and maybe in your own life, you're freaking out about something. So let me freak out about something that is just inane and silly, but just, I think, kind of fun to talk about. When I found out that our good friend Ken Jakubowski had never seen the movie Star Wars, I'm pretty much like, what are you talking about? Hey, Ken Jakubowski, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Am I the only person that you've met that has not seen this movie?
No, but okay. I feel like there are personality types where you go, really? I don't know what it is. I guess it's an assumption I have that everyone has seen the movie Star Wars. I'm going to go around the room. We have Representative Robert Martwick in studio. Have you seen Star Wars?
Yeah, of course.
See? That's a response you expect from somebody. I understand there's a population of people like you, Ken, and I shouldn't belittle them, but then there's Rob Austin, who perhaps has seen Star Wars, but has never seen The Godfather, and I can't understand that.
It's totally true. I have not seen Godfather or Rocky or some of the most
stop
popular.
Stop right
Whoa.
Now. Yeah, see? I knew that you're going to get a lot of derision in this room. Yeah. Ken, have you seen The Godfather? I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, I am literally looking at you side-eyed. I'm literally going like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Those are pretty iconic movies. How about you, Eric? I'm guessing you have seen Star Wars.
Do we need to list how many times or or just whether or not we have?
Well, and I talked about this last week, but let me round it out. Dave, I'm guessing you've also seen Star Wars because we give Ken a bit of a thousand times.
Times or so.
And the problem with this movie is that when we kid Ken, we want him to see it so we can have these conversations and have references and obviously culturally. But at the same time, I tried watching Star Wars with a friend of mine who had never seen it and her kids, and it went horribly because it was awful because her kid was talking the whole time like, I don't get it. How can R2 move on the sand? Wouldn't he just stink? Wouldn't he sink because, the rollers would get caught with sand and he's too heavy for the sand? And I'm like, there's different properties of sand on Tatooine. All right, back off. So they were talking the whole time. He's like, why would any of those hovercraft, why would you keep them hovering when you're not using them? Because isn't that a waste of gas? And that's how the whole movie went when we were trying to watch Star Wars. And then his mom, my friend, fell asleep. So it was disastrous. You get excited about sharing a movie that you love, and here's how we're going to, catch you up culturally with what people talk about. No. So I don't know how we expose Ken to the movie Star Wars or Rob to the movie The Godfather or Rocky.
I want to ask Ken why or how he's avoided it.
Well, it's been a series of distractions, and after I missed a couple, I just said, "Well, okay, that's not my thing." Now, The Godfather, I mean, hey, leave the gun, take the cannoli. I mean, come on. I've seen that. Oh God, I've seen that so many times. I once spent a weekend watching them over and over and over again. I think I watched them each three times. Like nine movies I watched in a week, and it was all The Godfather. But I don't know. I struggle to get into movies other than Batman and Superman, which I love. But I struggle to get into movies that are that require me to suspend a lot of disbelief. I like I like real dramas.
All right.
Okay, but here's a key question for Ken. And I'm asking this on behalf of Elliot, who is not with us tonight.
Yes, Elliot is off tonight.
Yes. So, hey, Ken, have you seen Batman with each of the actors who played Batman? Have you seen each of those movies? Or
no, I saw, obviously I grew up on the television show. I grew up watching Batman. I grew up watching The Green Hornet. And I grew up watching Man from U.N.C.L.E. But then, I watched the first couple, maybe three or four Batman. The last one I saw was with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Oh, my God. Whoa, such a bad movie.
I think.
Isn't that Poison Ivy, too, in that one? Yeah.
Actually, I did see the one with did Christian Bale play Batman?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was filmed in Chicago. That's the last one that I saw.
Okay, so why do you ask a day?
Well, because if he was like a super Batman fan and had seen like five actors, he's seen lots of really crappy movies.
Compared to Star Wars? Yes.
Star Wars? Come on, dude.
That's a true thing to say.
Well, look, I think we're going to kidnap you, Ken. The first Batman with Jack Nicholson as the Joker was, I thought Nicholson, I just am a massive Jack Nicholson fan. I thought that was really good.
Then I highly recommend Heath Ledger in the Christian Bale Batman movies, Dark Knight.
That's the one I have to pick. That's the one
so
I need to.
So good.
Yeah, that's the one I need to see. Just simply, not only because I enjoy Batman, but because I need to see Heath Ledger. Apparently, he was extremely good in that movie.
I don't know. Eric's shaking his head. He's got something to say.
No, it'll be life-changing. I cannot believe you haven't seen this yet.
Yeah, but having sat with somebody who hadn't seen Star Wars and the way it went down, I don't know. I mean, it seems almost like we build it up so much that there's no way to meet that. There's no way to sort of rise to that level of expectation that will be enjoyable.
Well, the reality is that Star Wars, when Star Wars came out, it was revelatory because it was the first of its kind of science fiction movie that looked like it was semi-realistic.
Right.
Because, prior to that, you had Doctor Who level special effects, which I'm sure Ken hasn't seen that either. But, it could be made in my garage. And I think some of the episodes actually were made in my garage.
Yeah.
Whereas Star Wars, it's like, George Lucas, how he revolutionized science fiction was with ILM and what they did with those special effects. And this is before the era of CGI.
Right.
This was all done with models and blue screens.
Which is problematic when you go back and try to watch Star Wars, because he went back in and CGI'd a bunch of stuff, and you can't watch the original. You have to dig for the original without, like, Jabba.
Yeah,
right?
The CGI stuff was just... George Lucas should have left well enough alone.
Yes, but now, so Ken, and the thing is, if you haven't seen the movie, I mean, hopefully you take it as, like, a charming piece of cultural a shift, I think, in the way we told stories, I guess.
And is Star Wars, you know, I think about it, like, for me, what was mind-blowing was in 77, I saw that in the theater, in a massive screen with that, you know, that
70 millimeter and surround,
yeah, THX or whatever he created for that, and and you know, does it work if you watch it on your flat screen at home?
It doesn't. It's because I saw it at what's the Copernicus over now? That used to be a movie theater, the Gateway Theater. Yeah. And you remember the Gateway had the stars in the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
So
still does.
I haven't been in there, but so you had the screen that was all stars, and the ship kind of, so it all sort of from in my memory blended together because I was little when I saw it. So it was pretty incredible. Oh my God, Michael just walked in the studio with a huge sack of food. Ken, sorry you can't join us. More after this on 720 WGN. Yeah. Also, sorry to our listeners. It is the best day of the week. It's like, it's a great way to put it and get back into our conversation. There's a lot to talk about. I know we want to, generally we talk about the news of the day, perhaps the news of the week. We save all of our conversations about politics for the most part until Friday, just to kind of mix things up and not dwell on every single thing, because it's like, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hydrant. So that's why I wanted to kind of keep it light. We'll talk about some of the things that happened today and this week. But right now we're talking about iconic movies that maybe you or someone in your life have not seen. My son Griffin, who is 14 years old, he's an eighth grader, and he was saying that he couldn't believe his classmates. None of his classmates have ever seen the movie Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and one of his classmates said it was because there's no action scenes in it. Which I guess Jimmy Stewart maybe should have, like, instead of doing a filibuster, maybe he should have come in with I don't want to make any
guns
jokes.
Guns blazing.
Yeah. So exactly. So I'm like, what does that even mean? But
or try to have sex on the Senate
there,
floor.
There we go. Right. Yeah, him and Gene Arthur maybe clearing the desk and having at it.
When all the kids, all the newsboys were taken out in their wagons and everything, running up and down the streets getting the newspaper. That was an exciting scene.
Because they got run over.
That's
and
right.
And the bad guys were trying to take them all. And
I forgot about that. Yeah, I'll tell Griffin to tell his friend Ben that there is a little bit of action.
You know, I'm not even sure Eli's seen that movie.
That's all right. Griffin didn't see it till last year. He's 14, so.
Yeah, but Eli's a political junkie, and he's. I don't think he's. I've subjected him to that yet.
I don't think I've told Representative Martwick this. Griffin had seen it, and then when we were driving down, Griffin was going to be a page for Representative Martwick. Griffin goes, "Can I watch Mr. Smith Goes to Washington on our way down?" It was so sweet.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. I think
if I'd have known that, I'd have conjured up a better floor speech.
It was such a great day. Thank you again for that. But iconic movies kind of become a part of the conversation. I mean, you know, it changes. A lot of people don't like classic movies. They don't want to see movies like, again, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington or Casablanca or Gone with the Wind. I can name dozens and hundreds of movies that we all have, you know, just have memories of and conversations about. Rob, you were, I think, on a list on IMDb movies you must see.
Yeah, and it's not as bad as I thought. I actually have seen
most of them. But The Godfather and Rocky are pretty significant. And the nice thing, differently from about that, from Star Wars, I think, as Dave was saying, you know, it was the technology and the storytelling, I think, is still pretty good. I hope it holds up, even if it's a little bit corny and
Star Wars
and Mark Hamill's a little bit, you know, goofy.
You know, look, the reality is the acting, it's not good.
Okay.
It's better, frankly, than the first trilogy or the second trilogy, you know, 1, 2, and 3.
It's so bad.
The acting in those movies was just god awful.
Yeah.
And missing.
And they were quality actors who were just directed so badly.
Yes.
Oh,
I have to agree with that. But I think that The Godfather and Rocky both hold up as remarkable movies.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, all of the Rocky films this month, free on Amazon Prime.
Well, now, there we go.
Just thought I'd throw that up.
Because that's what's been holding you back.
Yes.
Right. It was the cost.
The 27,000 times you could see it on cable. No.
How many Rocky movies are there?
Five.
Too many.
Five or six.
No,
there's like seven.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I stopped after the one with Dolph Lundgren.
Because there was one that just came out.
That was like number four.
Because Mr. T is number three.
Oh, okay.
And my life is so weird.
Clubber Lang
is number three. Dolph Lundgren is number four.
Wasn't it his son in number five?
Well, no, his son was six.
Oh, okay.
Number five was with that young boxer that Rocky was trying to mentor, and then he turned against him. And
this is there one where he's like becomes a street fighter or something like that too?
Yeah.
Do you know what the title of these movies are?
What?
No.
Rocky 1, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5.
Rocky 4, Rocky 5. And then there have been three recent. Rocky Balboa was in 2006, so after a 16-year absence, Rocky Balboa, and then Creed in 2015, and then Creed 2 in 2018.
Oh, there you go.
Ken's just pulling up his IMDb to show up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's kind of like Led Zeppelin.
Well, and then Ken, there was the great Rocky movie where he played a Vietnam vet. That was Rambo. Never
mind. Which is coming back. They're making another Rambo movie, by the way.
Why?
Oh,
no.
Hey, if you're going to have Roseanne, you got to have Rambo.
Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't need to have Roseanne.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Oh, and they're remaking Magnum P.I.
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God. And Murphy Brown is coming back.
But Murphy Brown is not a remake. Murphy Brown, all the original cast that are still alive are just their correct age. And after Trump was elected, they've come back to
do a morning show.
To do a new show.
That's funny. Well, I blame, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but Fuller House, I think, is to blame for all of this.
Fuller House?
Oh, my daughter loves that show. I've seen it probably 400,000 times.
There's a show called Fuller House?
Yes, Full House. Yeah. The whole
I know
cast.
What Full House
You haven't was. Seen it?
Touché, well young man. Well touché.
Do you know my connection to Full House and Fuller House?
Which one? Who did you date, Ken?
Oh,
I didn't date. My high school locker partner for 4 years was Dave Coulier, known as now known as Dave Coulier.
Oh, and Alanis Morissette's ex-boyfriend wasn't. And Alanis's inspiration for what was the name of the song that?
Well, I'm not sure.
You ought to know, isn't it? You ought to know.
Was that about him?
I've worked with him, and he says, and she, I believe she has alluded to it too. Yes, he says it's about him.
Yeah. Well, if you ever run into him, tell him you know me, and I'd love to see his reaction after all these years.
He's a really, really nice guy.
Was he a messy locker mate?
Oh, good question.
No, he was a nice guy. He used to get me kicked out of class all the time. He would sit near me, and he had a way of making noises. And they would like travel, and the teacher would think I was the one making the noises, and I'd get thrown out of class, and all the kids would just snicker and laugh, and I'd get so picked off.
Wow.
And all these years later, you're still not confessing to your own misdeeds, Ken.
Yeah, really?
Come on, you did it. We know you did it.
All right, before...
I got thrown out for other reasons, not for in addition to those reasons.
What kind of...
I wasn't as talented as Dave Coulier.
What kind of posters? Did he have any, like, you know, Teen Beat magazine covers or pictures in his locker? Or did you?
No, not at all. I mean, he looks almost virtually the same now as he did when he was in high school.
Oh, that's funny.
Same basic haircut and everything. He was a hockey player.
Right.
And it was just, he was very funny. I mean, he was the same type of characters that you see on television he did in high school. We've seen all these before when we were growing up with him.
Cool. I know my friend Nate Weatherup has traveled as his opening act for a while, so I'll see if I can connect you guys if you want to have your own sort of locker reunion. Before we leave this topic, I want to find out. So, Rob, are you going to try to watch one of these movies?
Oh, now sure.
So okay, because I kind of want you to come back and I'm curious about how it unfolds. And for anybody else, I just think it's hard to watch a movie that everyone's talked about for decades.
Yeah, I'm not sure which is worse, not having seen it or not liking it when everybody
exactly.
else likes it.
So right.
At least I can just feign innocence.
Well, and you did it weird. Yes.
Can he mix pleasures? I mean, can you watch the movie while you sample a new beer and write about it?
There you go. Yeah, I like that.
You know what? That'll probably help.
I like that. And you also mentioned off the air that you made the mistake of trying to watch Godfather 3 without having seen one or two.
No, it wasn't that I tried to. It was just the first one I got to see in a theater, and everyone
It's awful.
Like,
it's a bad movie.
Yeah, it just starts off the conversation in a bad way.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But I didn't know. It wasn't my fault. I didn't know.
Okay, so here's the question. If we want him to see just one, you can't see. You can only see Rocky or The Godfather.
Godfather. Without a doubt. Godfather.
Yeah. Roger. Godfather.
So done.
Godfather. Or
depending what mood I'm in. Yeah, Godfather.
Godfather.
It's a little longer and.
Well, I have a question. I mean, maybe read the book. The book is really good.
Yeah. But it's so good.
It's so good.
And you guys are aware of the story as to how the movie hit the screen and how the book was written, correct?
You're going to get a lot of silence from this room, it looks like.
Okay. So Robert Evans, who was running the studio at Paramount, came up with the idea for what he thought was a gangster movie. And in order to launch the movie, he hired Mario Puzo to write a book. And that became The Godfather.
Wow,
and
I had no idea.
It became a number one best-selling book. And while the book was out selling like hotcakes, they were filming The Godfather. And Robert Evans almost blew a gasket when he found out that the director was the guy with the glasses.
Scorsese.
No, not Scorsese, the other guy.
With the glasses.
San Francisco.
Hmm.
No. Oh, I know. His daughter has done movies.
Coppola.
Wait, why did I think it was Scorsese? It was Coppola. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Coppola didn't want to do a mafia movie. He didn't want to do a typical Godfather movie. He wanted to do a movie about American capitalism. And when Evans was told that, Evans went out of his mind. This was Coppola's first major film. Obviously, it worked out fine.
Yeah, I think so.
We're all involved.
But the book, it wasn't like they went out and bought the book and then made the movie. The book was the lead for the movie. It was the lead marketing tool for the movie.
That's pretty smart.
Interesting.
We have to run to the news. When we come back, we will turn to some of the events of the week. I want to find out from Representative Martwick what's going on in Springfield and what we need to know about. I'm sure people are dying to know. I'm sure they're all watching ILGA.gov every single day.
If they're not dying to know, they'll be dying after they hear it.
All right, let's take a break here. Then the news, more on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is Dave Lundy, who is the president of Aileron Communications and regular on the Justin Kaufman Show every Monday night. Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, and a political strategist and former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. We also have Representative Robert Martwick in studio with us, representing the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District. And on the phone with us is Ken Jakubowski, the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises
and
also crisis communications expert. I think crisis is kind of, we're not shocked anymore. I think whenever something tragic like today happens, where 10 people lose their lives in a high school, all it ends up being is a huge social media fight. The gun extremists go to their corner. They're like, screw you, get over it. And my son wrote, and they're basically, it feels like they're saying, wait for your turn. That's the way it feels to some people. And then other people are like, you know, get rid of all the guns. We're all in our corners. And, the state of Illinois has tried to pass some reasonable measures that were thwarted by the governor. What are your thoughts on this, Representative Martwick?
Well, I think we did pass some reasonable gun measures. In fact, apparently, even the Illinois State Rifle Association seems to think that that's our Illinois version of the NRA, endorsed basically all of the changes that we made, ban on bump stocks, 72-hour waiting period for purchase of guns. So they were, I think, pretty reasonable gun restrictions. And so they go to the governor's desk and they're ready to be signed. And the governor puts them all into one bill and then adds the bringing back the death penalty.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic there.
I don't think anybody really understands the logic there. I think that there is speculation that it was a political move because the governor obviously has had a little challenge with his, you know, within his own party, with Jeannie Ives still kind of keeping the right end of his party away from him. He felt that, you know, there's speculation. I don't know if this is true or not because I'm not from that party, but there's speculation that he thought that if he were to outright veto it, well, then he would lose the moderates, right, who right. want some common sense gun measures. And if he were to, you know, accept it, then he would continue to lose that right flank of his party. Not good going into an election year where your numbers are so low. So he accepts it or he amends the language and adds the death penalty, basically putting a poison pill on the bill so that when it gets killed, he can blame the other party. So if that's the strategy, politically, it's probably a pretty good strategy. It just doesn't get much done.
Is there anything where, I mean, it feels like any time we have a day like today where we're in mourning and then there's another shooting in Georgia during a graduation in the parking lot across the street, is a state level, it seems like the only form of action that we have right now is to go to the state level.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reality of it is, at least nationwide, that the country is so split that and people, there is very little room for agreement on this. People are all or nothing. People are, you know, get rid of all guns, or the other side is everyone should have a gun.
Yeah.
If everyone had a gun, then we wouldn't have a problem. And the other side says, if we got rid of all guns, there wouldn't be a problem. So there's not a whole lot of middle ground for this.
And we escaped a major tragedy this week in our own state when a high school student came in and tried to attack his...
Pretty fascinating, actually, that... And I do want to say I have nothing but the greatest respect for the school resource officer. This is a police officer who was in the Dixon High School when a young student came out of a bathroom with a gun and started shooting. He ran after him. He chased him. He exchanged gunfire with him. He wound up wounding him in the shoulder, disarming him. No lives were lost when it could have been very tragic. The flip side of that, and I don't want to jump to that too fast. I don't want to diminish the fact that this guy was a hero and he did his job.
Yes.
But the flip side of that is that what we're learning about the young man who was the shooter is that he was mercilessly bullied in the school. He spent the last 3 months being homeschooled. He was going to be allowed to graduate with his class, but he couldn't even go to class because he had been bullied so much. And over the course of the last decade, because of our budget crisis, we have virtually eliminated school counselors and social workers. And so there's nobody to address this kid's problems. And you start to think to yourself, you know, and here we are where we've got President Trump saying, we'll arm all the teachers. And if you talk to the teachers, they're saying, how about you give us the tools we need to educate these kids so that and stop these problems. Kids are having, you know, that obviously anyone who remembers high school knows it's a very sensitive time.
Yeah.
You need things, you need resources to address these kids' problems. And right now we're cutting that and we're talking about spending more money, bringing in more armed guards or arming teachers.
But today Donald Trump said that he promises to do everything in his power to help prevent another tragedy like this from happening, and that he will, it's not just lip service, that he's really going to do something in order to prevent this from happening, as long as it doesn't involve guns.
Doing anything about changing our approach?
Yeah, I don't know what he's going to do. I just know he's promised to do everything humanly possible.
The flags are at half mast. I don't know why that was something that struck me as odd. He announced that we would fly the flags at half mast in federal buildings to pay respect to the people who lost their lives in Texas. This is the first time I've ever heard.
It's Texas.
Oh, I see.
Because he didn't do that in Florida, did he?
No,
not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. Well, Eric, what are your thoughts on how what we can? Is there anything? I mean, that we can do? Because otherwise, is it just a matter of just get used to it?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think we should get used to it. I mean, when you have headlines that read 2018 has been deadlier for children in schools than U.S. service members, clearly we have a problem that we need to address. to the representative's point, I think that there's an issue, a mental health issue that isn't being addressed in this country yep. that needs to be addressed. And frankly, if everyone was spending as much time addressing this issue as they are trying to figure out if they've heard Yanny or Laurel, maybe we'd be in a better position.
Yeah, but if I do that every night of the week, if I talk about other things, people get so mad at me and I can't take it anymore. And then maybe that's what it is that we're not listening to each other either.
Okay, well, I haven't listened to Yanny or Laurel. I've never heard this thing. I don't care.
No.
I won't
right,
listen.
Exactly. Right. I mean, I think, but, you know, the fact that even the White House comms people were talking about it, the president talked about it, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's so many other things that they should be focusing on and focusing their attention on.
I agree. Ken, what are your thoughts on what we can do or how we continue to have this conversation without attacking each other?
I don't think it's possible.
All right.
I mean, I just think this is one of these issues that divides the country. But remember, it the majority of the country is for more gun control, for more stringent rules and regulations. And it's the minority of the country, though, that continue to have a stranglehold over Congress.
70% of NRA members support universal background checks, you know, and so I said there is no room for common ground. I think fundamentally that we're very far apart, but there are a lot of things that we do agree on. One of those is what Eric mentioned, which is, you know, how do we keep guns out of the hands, and I think everyone agrees with this, even the NRA has said this, that we need to keep guns out of the hands of people who have serious mental health issues. And, you know, again, this is where we look at, you know, one of the things we talk about recently in Chicago, of course, violent crime, lots of gun crimes going up, and you can look for a lot of things, but I think the areas that we do agree on is that you know, that there have been such drastic cuts because of our budget crisis on all levels of government, from federal to state to local, that we have absolutely eliminated mental health counseling and treatment, addiction treatment. And we've closed a bunch of neighborhood schools in the most sensitive neighborhoods. And then we wonder why there are problems, right?
Right.
And so, you know, it seems like both sides agree that that is something that we could do to really address this problem. In other words, if we can't figure out what to do with the guns, maybe what we can do to treat the people that are using them. And if that's something we can agree on, then we should ought to get to work on that.
Well, right? And the thing is that, you know, access to guns is, you know, an issue because both this shooting today in Texas, it was he had taken his dad's guns. So I don't, you know, who knows if his dad knew that this kid had access to his guns, if they were locked up properly. And also the shooting in Nashville, the shooter there had taken his guns had been taken away because he hadn't traveled to D.C. and was going to there was a reason why his guns were confiscated. They were then returned to his father, who then gave the guns back to his son. So, I mean, even when people are, you know, have all the gone through all the proper channels that we have in place now, it still doesn't seem to be doing the job. The other thing is Senator Ryder in a debate about the guns and changing having some sort of reform said, well, you know, we can't. He made a reference to how car manufacturers should not be held responsible for, you know, when a car is involved in an accident. Okay, well, yeah, let's open that door of like comparing cars to guns, because then we're talking about testing, we're talking about licensing, registration. Yeah,
insurance.
I am all yeah, definitely. Insurance. Let's go that way. I like that. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you for hanging out pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Several years ago, we started traveling down to Springfield when it became clear that there was something amiss. I mean, look, it's the state of Illinois. Things have been kind of swirling for a while. But on World Autism Day in April of 2015, Governor Rauner cut $25 million to some of the most important programs, including the Autism Program of Illinois and the Epilepsy Foundation, the Meals on Wheels program, smoking cessation. And while we were down there, we realized there was something much bigger going on, which was that there was not going to be an agreement on how we were going to arrive at a budget. And that lasted for, how many months did that go for, Representative Martwick? Was that 30?
It was 2.5 years.
Yeah. It was insane. And now we are coming up on the deadline to pass another budget this year. So let's talk a little bit about the possibility that we might not make it again. because the spending is, you know, we continue to have to take care of business here.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the budget that we passed last year, the good news was that we passed a budget. The bad news was that, mathematically speaking, it was still short of what we needed, which means immediately you're right back at a situation. And you know, Governor Rauner has criticized the budget, even though he had nothing to do with it. He said no to anything. He criticized the budget because we raised taxes, but we didn't. He said, but the budget was still out of balance. But that was, of course, because he was the one who demanded that the tax rate only be 4.95% instead of mathematically what we needed to do to balance the budget. So we're in the same situation where, if we're looking at the budget honestly, we're quite a bit short of revenue. So now you're looking at cuts, you're looking at trying to find some budget savings in order to get to something that's at least close to being balanced, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a challenge there. There's no doubt about it. It's not like you just walk in and you say, well, we've got the revenue now. So there is a real challenge. And that's why you've heard so much talk about the concept of a progressive tax, right? So obviously, J.B. Pritzker, running for governor, has said he supports progressive taxes. Governor Rauner and the Illinois Policy Institute have made it a mission of theirs to go out and slam the idea of progressive taxes.
For those who aren't familiar, let's talk a little bit about what that means, what progressive taxes, entails.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's exactly the same tax structure the federal government has, which means that if your income is lower, then you pay a lower rate on that income. And the higher your income goes, you step up. So you get higher rates the more you make. It has a progressive rate structure.
And we've had a flat tax in the state of Illinois since the 1970s when the Constitution was rewritten.
Yes.
And there was a different time. We had a lot more manufacturing going on. Agriculture was more safe, it was secure, was stable, and a lot has changed since then. And you have a lot of people who aren't earning as much as they were compared to what the economy was like.
Well, and it, you know, the economy has changed, and clearly since the recession, the recovery has been by and large, and the growth in the economy has been in the upper income, right? That's where there has been the most growth in the economy. They're the ones who have done the best since the recovery. And the states that have progressive income taxes, by and large, have been the states that have, because they've been able to capture that revenue, capture that growth in the economy, they're the ones who've been able to sort out their finances. California, Minnesota, the states with the flat taxes, by and large, are the ones that are struggling. And Illinois is probably struggling more than others because we have massive debt. And, you know, we have a consistent budget shortfall, and we're just not doing mathematically what needs to be done to be addressed. That's the thing that drives me crazy, Patty, is that everyone talks in concepts. Nobody actually talks about the math. How do you solve a mathematical financial problem without math? And yet, we never talk about the math.
And it's funny because, you know, that seems like you just put the numbers up. Can you just, like, do you want to just put, like, a dry erase board?
You want to hear some numbers? No, you don't. Because if anybody's on a diet, I will help you because you will lose your appetite for the next 3 weeks. So we have a state version of the Congressional Budget Office. It's called COGFA, the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, nonpartisan, economists and number crunchers. So I gave them a query. I said, over the course of the next 27 years, if we make all of our pension payments, and no one would suggest that we skip a pension payment because that's what got us into this mess. So if we make our pension payments, we live up to our commitment to fund education, and all other spending grows at its historical average. Over the course of the next 27 years, with that 4.95% flat rate, will we have enough money to balance our budgets? And what they told me was,
I know the answer.
it's not real difficult.
Yeah.
We will fall a cumulative $224 billion short of what we need. And according to COGFA, if we were to balance our budgets, we would need to enact, as of January 1st, 2019, a 6.45% flat tax.
Youch.
And it's not going to happen. But here, because there's no political will to do that. There was barely political will to go to 4.95%. But here's the thing.
We don't have to.
Yeah, right. You might not want that. I don't want that. But that's the math.
Right.
And if we're not talking about the math, we'll just keep making things worse and worse.
My experience in being in Springfield is a lot of it is, well, if you guys hadn't done this, then we wouldn't be here. Well, if you would just do, you know, it doesn't. There, you're right. There's no math. It's just a lot of finger pointing.
But this is what's wrong. And frankly, this is what's wrong with the Tribune editorial board, because they threw out their calculators, all their calculators, years and years ago. Mm-hmm. Because you are 100% right. And by the way, this is why I'm on the Civic Federation board, because all the Civic Federation does is the math.
That's right.
And they tell you, what is it going to take in order to be fiscally responsible, whether you're Chicago or the state? And obviously, and they just came out and said that the governor's budget was, frankly, a lot of hooey. And one question for you. I just want to follow up one quick thing on
Can I tease their question, because I have to go to a break and then the news?
Sure.
Dave's got a question for Representative Marwick. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 312-981-7200. You can text us. Dave Lundy is managing the text screen, so we will get to those when we come back on 720 WGN. I think freaking out is so much better when it's got a good beat. You're listening pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Representative Robert Marwick, representing the Rootin' Tootin' 19th District. We have Eric Elk, who is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. We also have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, and Kenneth Jakubowski on the line with us, the president and CEO of Cirrus Enterprises. Dave, but when we broke for the news, we were talking about Illinois politics, the budget, and all different things. And you had a question for Representative Marwick.
Well, you were talking earlier about the governor's proposed budget and also about the tax increase. I'm just curious, that budget he proposed, since he's so adamantly opposed to that tax increase, he gave it all back, right? And it's not included in his efforts to balance the budget?
Yeah, that was one of the most fascinating things, was watching his budget address, because after all he fought and talked about how irresponsible the tax increase was, I thought for sure that he would propose a budget that did not include that revenue. And basically his budget included basically all of it, with a couple of, once again, sort of fake savings that would have shaved off supposedly a quarter of a point. So not the rollback that he had promised for months. So even though he was opposed to it, even though it was the wrong thing to do, he's happy to spend all that money.
And to your point, it's just math.
So. You know, only if you actually pull out a calculator and do it.
And you got to show your work. That's all I'm saying.
Show your work. I say that all the time, Patty. I'm like, listen, whoever wants to talk to me about solutions to our problems, I'm happy with that. I will listen to anyone's, but show me your math.
Show the math. Yeah. Show your work. Well, speaking of math, here's something that doesn't add up.
Nice.
Well, let me give Eric a microphone. Sorry about that, Eric. I keep forgetting your mic. I don't know why.
Trying to silence me.
Feel free to hit your button. You can hit your button.
You're silencing the Republicans. You're silencing the conservatives.
So President Trump, according to an article by the Washington Post, he has personally pushed U.S. Postmaster General Megan Brennan to double the rate the Postal Service charges Amazon.com. who happens to own the Washington Post, a newspaper that Donald Trump has repeatedly called fake news and attacked and said all kinds of things. Ken, what were your thoughts when you saw this article?
Well, he not only, you know, the impression that I first had when I heard about this was that he had called her once. He's met with her multiple times on the same issue, and not once have any of the meetings that have been held at the White House, not once has the meeting ever appeared on Trump's schedule.
His
public schedule. It's been done all under cover of darkness. This is a classic abuse of power, using the government to punish a political enemy. And he views Jeffrey Bezos as enemy number one, has for years. He's gone after him since almost the moment he was inaugurated. And each time the Washington Post runs an article or a series of articles critical, he goes out of his mind, and apparently he picks up the phone and calls the Postmaster General. You can't do that. This was one of the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon. Back then, just to name two of many, I mean, there was the enemies list, which had 200 names of prominent Democrats on it, that Nixon basically sicked the entire government on. But most notably, the Washington Post, where Nixon try to impede their renewal of their television stations through regulatory pressures, and the L.A. Times, where he ordered the Attorney General to investigate the entire Chandler family. The Chandler family owned the L.A. Times. And that's all instruments of government he wanted put on both of those entities. You can't do that. And this is, you substitute the L.A. Times and Washington Post and just substitute Amazon, and you've got a classic abuse of power. And it's kind of startling because this is the type of thing that's pretty easily discovered. You would have thought that Trump, if all he had to do was study history for 5 minutes, and he would realize that he can't go near this. But apparently he's been doing it.
And by the way, we know this about Nixon, not only because John Dean testified to it in the Watergate hearings, but because the tapes. And I was reminded tonight because Rachel Maddow was playing some of the tapes of Nixon ordering the IRS to go after. He fired the head of the IRS because he was not giving him auditing the people he wanted audited and going after the people he wanted to go after. So he put another guy in his place who he thought would be more compliant, and then asked again to go after people. And that guy was like, "Wait, what? No, you can't do that." And it's all on tape. And Nixon's and I was reminded tonight in watching Rachel Maddow, listening to those tapes, of James Comey's comment before the investigating panel back in June of 2017, when he said, "Lordy, I hope there are tapes."
I was just thinking the same thing. I don't know if Megan Brennan has you can't record somebody without their knowledge, but I don't know how that works.
Well, it depends on the district.
Well, that's true. Both Ken and Dave have said you can't do that in regards to these actions, both by Nixon and now by President Trump, and trying to demand something in ways that they can't. Eric, what does that mean? You can't do that, because it seems like it's something he shouldn't do. Can't, he is. So what's the reaction? It seems like he can, and nobody is going to do anything about it.
I think he is, and it's just a matter of time. I think. All the more, there's been a group of Republicans who were doing ads this week about, let's keep Mueller on. I mean, this is the 1 year anniversary since Mueller started, and
happy Mueller-versary.
Exactly. No, and I think it's important. I mean, this needs to play out. It seems that there's not a week that goes by where that onion is not peeling back more information that is actually really damning.
I was reading an article about, we talk about these things. We talk about the Mueller investigation. Now we'll be talking about this for a bit, and the money for the Chinese telecommunications company that Donald Trump is, making sure that we're making China great again, and bringing jobs back to China. The idea that we're not really talking about the things that are fundamentally important to Americans, right? They hear all this and they just think, it doesn't make any difference. There's no collusion. The things that are important are jobs. And so, the unemployment rate in Illinois has dropped a little bit again. But we also know that salaries are flatlined and people are not earning as much. And obviously in the state of Illinois, we're worried about taxes and property taxes in particular. We know that health care continues to be an issue that nobody's talking about anymore. These are the things that affect people in a fundamental way, and how they, Americans continue to lose their health insurance, and there are people, the kinds of treatments that are being denied now are actually escalating, and we're not talking about those things because we're talking about all these crazy things. And it's like there's so many things that we're suffering from, and nobody cares about the Amazon thing. Nobody cares about Russia. Not nobody, but you know what I mean. It's not having an effect. It's not going to change anything on how people are experiencing their lives.
Well, and he proposed getting rid of family planning dollars. He
proposed don't even get me
Title
started.
10. Well, and nobody's noticing that because yes. He's doing the other crazy stuff.
Exactly.
There was an interesting article in the Washington Post where there was a focus group done up in Wisconsin this week. And a number of the Trump voters were very specific in that they didn't think that the president should fire Mueller.
Okay.
And, let this go on. And they have serious concerns about this Russian investigation. And these are folks who actually voted for Trump.
Right.
So the administration, I think, has a bigger problem than they'd than they believe that there is. I mean, this needs to happen. It needs to move forward, and it needs to continue, and hopefully we get to the bottom of this. And the Amazon thing is just one more thing on this heap.
Yeah.
A pile of...
crap. Yeah, I found the dump button, so if you wanted to say something else, but yes, Ken?
Patty, you had asked, can he do what he's doing to Amazon? The specific language that was in Nixon's articles of impeachment is as follows, and I'm just going to read this very briefly. In his conduct of the office of President of the United States, Donald Trump, in violation of his constitutional oath, faithfully to execute the office of President of the United States and to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That's the key line.
So in regards to can or can't?
you can't. He's not faithfully executing the laws of the land. He's using them for personal, private
vendettas.
Yep. He's using the instrument of government to wage a personal vendetta. You cannot do that.
Yeah, not a close
call. Nobody
can
do that.
Yeah. No, so what does it say? I mean, realistically speaking, that you've got a guy who his actions are arguably no different than a president who was impeached, and yet there's no chance that he will ever be impeached. I mean,
I disagree.
So
I
you
disagree.
Think so? But what does it say that we have to win back the House in order to impeach the President of the United States?
Well, forget impeachment. You have to win back the House to have any oversight, yeah. To have any investigations. There are so many scandals that have taken place in the first year of Trump that. Had just any one of them been done under Obama, there would have been hearing after hearing after hearing after hearing. And these guys do nothing. Paul Ryan said earlier this week that he thought it was okie dokie that Devin Nunes wanted to go after a confidential FBI informant. And it's perfectly fine if all of the confidential and classified investigative materials from Mueller go straight to the White House. No problemo. Whatever Devin Nunes wants is fine. And you got to wonder, this guy has already announced his retirement. Does he have no soul? I mean, does he really have no soul, no sense of American history, no sense of legal propriety? Because all of this stuff is bonkers.
Let's contemplate those questions as we take a break on 720 WGN. Thank you for hanging out with us pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio for our Freak Out Friday panel. Dave Lundy, Eric L. Kendrick Kubowski, and Representative Robert Martwick. We've been talking about the president's attempts to coerce or convince the Postmaster General to end the deal they have with Amazon, the owner of which is, of course, Jeff Bezos, who also owns the Washington Post. And President Trump is not a particular fan, to put it mildly. We have a texter who has some thoughts about this. Dave, do you want to share your thoughts in regards to their thoughts and then your thoughts in response?
Yes, the texter from the 309, welcome from Central Illinois listeners, said, President Trump is not raising the postal rates on the Washington Post. He is raising the postal rates that are significantly discounted for Amazon. There is a difference. Why should Amazon have such a sweet deal? Because the owner also owns the Washington Post. The owner's connection between the two companies is a fact, but it should also not affect the postal rates charged Amazon. Currently, the struggling post office is subsidizing Amazon's profits.
Or?
That is what President Trump is acting on.
Or?
Or the reality is that while the post office is losing money, absolutely, how much more money would the post office be losing if Amazon was not giving it all that business? Mm-hmm. Amazon could take its business to UPS
and just only go
FedEx.
Yeah, go strictly with the privately owned
absolutely
delivery services.
Instead, they're funneling all this money into the post office. Anybody who actually knows anything about this stuff knows that Amazon is a godsend to the post office. Because do you mail letters? I don't even have stationery printed anymore at my office, my business. We haven't had envelopes made in 10 years. Nobody mails first-class letters anymore. That's why the post office is bleeding. So, and by the way, what the president did, he wasn't going after postal rates. He specifically asked the Postmaster General to raise rates on Amazon, and not just raise them, double them. Yeah, no, that's abuse of power.
And there are people in the White House, according to this Washington Post article, who believe that if it wasn't for Amazon, the Postal Service might be out of business.
There you go. Yeah. So thank you so much from the 309.
Thank you.
There you have it. Yes. That's what we should. Oh, that's what we should do. I should do a new segment called "There You Have It." Oh, no. I think that we should do a segment called "That's Not What's Happening." I don't know if I would yell it like that, but I'm sorry if anyone was driving and just drove off the road. I apologize to everyone involved. There's so many things so much has happened since I last saw all of you that I don't even know where to begin. I said this off the air, every 24 hours feels like an entire week. We haven't even talked about this crazy lawyer in New York who went off on two women because they were speaking Spanish in front of him. You know about this. He's done it before.
Yeah.
You're not a Jew. Did you see that one where he's yelling at other Jewish people?
He's yelling at the Hasids. He's yelling at the Black Hatters and telling them that they're not Jews. I was so embarrassed. I wish this guy couldn't you just not be a Jew,
Aaron Schlossberg.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Couldn't you just not be a member of my tribe? This is like nuts. It frankly reminds me of a lot of my conservative Jewish friend Josh Cantor's buddies online. A lot of his Facebook friends are cuckoo. Mm. And this guy is just like that. It's just nuts.
What were you going to say, Eric?
Yes, Eric?
There's another. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was just. I couldn't believe. So they basically, he was in a like office shared space type thing, and they just like booted him. Right?
Yeah, they ended his lease or whatever it was. By the way, there's another video of him. There was a guy who posted the video of him 2 years ago, and it's actually kind of charming because he sets it up. He's sitting in front of his computer, and he goes, "Okay, you're not going to believe what happened to me." And he uses like these little Buddha monkeys or something as action figures to demonstrate what happened on a New York City sidewalk. He and his girlfriend were just walking. Now the sidewalk was very wide, and Aaron Schlossberg, he sees Aaron Schlossberg coming at him, doesn't know who he is, and after in the video afterwards he turns to his girlfriend and he was like, "Did you know that guy?" And she's like, "No, I thought you knew him." So here's a stranger coming at you, and he holds up his briefcase against his chest, has plenty of room to walk around this dude, shoves him and asks him where he's from, and takes out his phone, says he's going to call ICE and have him removed from the country. Like, just a guy walking on the sidewalk. This guy is mentally unstable. But, yes.
Goes back to mental health. We need more mental health to address this issue.
But, you know, I hope that even the racists are like, "No, that's crazy."
Well, but my favorite part of the incident from 2 years ago is he was caught on tape saying, "I'm winning at life and you're losing."
Yes.
It's like,
what is he, Charlie Sheen?
Yes,
yes!
Exactly.
So
hashtag
crazy.
Winning.
Nice.
Which my response was hashtag winning not so much.
Yeah, it was so bizarre. I mean, last week we were talking about, you know, the student at Yale. I guess was it only a week ago we were talking about the family barbecuing in Oakland, California, and a woman spent 2 hours on the phone with the police department demanding that they send a squad car because black family was using charcoal, and a white student called the police because there was someone sleeping in the common area of their dorm and she happened to be black or whatever. And I just remember thinking, wow, this is what a horrible time to be black. And then the Latino community is like, wow, that sucks for them. And then Monday happened. We're like, wait a minute, now we can't even speak Spanish. What is happening?
By the way, our texter in 309 objected to my response. He says, "You guys are really something. You don't really address what I talk about in my previous text.
You actually,
because you can't defend it. Why don't you guys all sign up for the Jeff Bezos for president campaign stupidity on WGN?"
And by the way, Eric, I'm assuming that this listener also lumps you into my liberal loser friends. I don't know if you want to address that, but as a former chief of staff for
Senator
Mark Kirk.
You're not a real Republican.
Yes, you're not.
Sure.
Okay. More after this on 720 WGN.
Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of
What's That From?
Excited. You're listening pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We want to thank Ken J. Gubowski for joining us earlier. He has left the panel, and we will talk to him again next week in studio. Joining us in studio are Representative Robert Martwick. We have Dave Lundy and Eric Elk. And it is time for What's That From? We will read a scene from a classic movie, Destroy It, so you can never watch it the same way again, as we often do. And I think my favorite so far has been Casablanca and our destruction of having read that classic movie.
Yeah, though Duck Soup was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome and awful. I think awesome.
Only
awful.
Because of my performance as Groucho.
It was
Naturally.
So I think that my favorite was doing Psycho with Ken reading the mom and like not even trying to make it sound a little bit feminine. Like, and not that she sounds feminine because obviously it was done.
Right.
Okay, but so anyway, but that's one of my favorites. So when you know what movie we are reading a scene from, give us a call at 312-981-7200 and you will win a gift card from Apt Electronics, pleasing people since 1936. You can go to abt.com or visit them at their store in Glenview. And please say hi to our good friend Steve Shapiro, who I had the pleasure of seeing today at our WGN Walk of Fame. So it was good to see him. And he's like, do you need more cards? So apparently they love that you guys come in and say hi to them. So we'll keep doing that. All right, take it away, Roger.
Interior Madison home, night. Tommy goes downstairs into the living room. The furnishings are Montgomery Ward Sears. James Madison, age 47, is absorbed in a boxing match on TV. He's balding, bored, uninspired. A man who lost at the game of life.
Anybody seen the drill?
His father doesn't react. His mother, Jolene, 47, sticks her head out of the kitchen. Once she was very attractive, now she's in a rut.
I've been calling you for 5 minutes. Didn't you hear me?
I was practicing. I've got an audition next week. I gotta practice. How am I gonna get famous if I don't practice?
You won't get famous if you don't eat either.
She goes back in the kitchen.
Dad, you seen the drill?
What drill?
The drill! The power drill I bought you for Christmas. I was using it last night.
That'll turn up.
Tommy sits down in the kitchen where his mother is putting food on the table.
James, dinner's ready.
Coming, Jolene.
James just sits there watching the boxing match.
Now, James, dinner's ready now.
Coming, Jolene.
A commercial comes on. James gets up and rolls the TV stand over to where he'll be able to watch from the dinner table.
How was school today?
Fine.
Learn anything?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
How was school today?
Fine.
Learn anything?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
James turns his attention totally on the TV. Tommy looks at the newspaper. Jolene stares off into space. 20 seconds of lively family dinner conversation by the sportscaster giving the blow-by-blow on TV. Finally, Jolene opens her mouth again.
By the way, that reminds me, Saturday night we're taking Grandma Stella out for Chinese food.
Jolene, Chinese food again.
James, if you don't want Chinese food, pick a place you want to go and make a reservation.
That means I'll have to pick up the phone, Ma.
No, Chinese food is fine.
Saturday night's the Springtime in Paris dance. I'm taking Susie Parker.
The Springtime in Paris dance. You hear that, James? They're still having the Springtime in Paris dance. That was our first date. Remember, James? I remember everything about that night. Remember the first time we kissed? It was during the last dance. They were playing that Eddie Fisher song, Turn Back the Hands of Time. I remember how you asked me out. We were in the cafeteria. You were so scared, you spilled your creamed corn.
James just stares at the TV, oblivious to his wife.
And I probably won't be here when you wake up Sunday morning. Susie and I are going to go down to the lake and watch the sunrise.
The sunrise? What for?
To see it.
James doesn't get it. He turns his attention back to the TV.
You mean you're going to stay up all night?
Mom, how else are we going to see the sunrise?
I don't think I like the idea of you staying all night with a girl.
Hey, Ma, give me a break.
There's a sudden pounding on the back door. No one moves to answer it. Pounding again.
Would you answer that, James?
James ignores her. Finally, Tommy gets it.
I was going to, I'm wondering if perhaps you changed too much of this, Roger.
I was going to say, you changed a lot.
I only changed the names to protect the innocent.
Well, not just that, but you changed the name of the dance.
Other stuff too. Yeah.
I didn't change the name of the dance.
Yeah.
I didn't touch it.
It was Enchantment Under the Sea.
You know what? Yeah. But that was changed in a different script. That's were two versions.
Well, did any of this make it into the movie that we're reading from? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, he came down looking for the drill. And they were supposed to have dinner.
I'm
just
teasing you.
Because at first I'm reading this going like, I have no idea what this is. And then finally I'm like, oh, I get it.
I did my very best to do my impression of the mom in this.
Yes, you did. Very well.
You did a good job.
All of you, very well.
Only because I've seen this movie 38,000 times.
Yeah, me too.
And?
Yes.
And?
Yes.
You want to give it the plug?
Hold on a second. We will. Okay. As soon as we get a winner here, we will definitely give it the plug. From the 630, Sean, what's that from?
It's Back to the Future.
Yay! Yay! Okay, tell the truth. It was my impression of Leah Thompson that gave it away, wasn't it?
It absolutely was.
No, where? I mean, because I don't think that I would have been able to and again, I've seen this movie many times, and I will be seeing it at the Rosemont AMC for Nick D's Movie Club coming up on June 12th. But I would not have recognized this. How did you figure it out?
Well, you guys picked kind of an obscure scene from the movie.
Yes.
So it was difficult to figure out. And then I realized what it was. I was like, oh, yes, of course.
That's really good. I agree. I
didn't get it till the third page of the script.
I don't even,
I think the spot where he says he's going to spend all night.
Yes.
And I didn't change her name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part, I think, was in the movie just like that. And I remember that part because they questioned why he was going to stay late.
Right.
I remember he needed the car.
Right.
And yeah.
Didn't he want, wasn't it the truck? Isn't it a, oh no. He ends up with a truck at the end. I'm sorry.
Right,
never mind.
Right.
I don't want to, no spoilers.
Yeah.
For a movie.
Even in case Ken hasn't seen Back to the Future.
Sean, do you think this movie holds up? Do you think
absolutely.
I agree.
I think it was a great pick. I think it was a great choice for doing this, the part that you guys did.
I don't know if you guys realize this. I didn't mention it the evening that Leslie Zemeckis was in studio promoting her book. She's married to Robert Zemeckis, and he was in studio, and he was clearly here to support her, I was trying to be all cool and stuff, and I spent the whole time trying not to swallow my tongue, but I geeked out before he left. I'm like, I just gotta say, I have only written 2 fan letters in my entire life, and one of them was to Michael J. Fox, and I have you to blame for that. So that was really all the dorkiness that I could handle that night. So,
that is super dorky.
It was crazy dorky. I didn't know.
That's awesome.
I was trying to be super normal when he was in there, because he's just one of the greatest filmmakers of all time.
And that was so weird, because it was like Michael tried to keep me out. He was like too late to stop me. And I thought I was just going to come in and hang with you and your guest, not knowing he was there. And I also played it close. Oh, yeah, it's Robert Zemeckis.
Sure,
yeah,
that happens every
out,
night.
Chilling,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It was, well, he came That's around the corner cool. And I was like, hello. He goes, hi, I'm Bob. I'm like, yeah, you are. You most certainly are, Bob. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hi, Bob.
I'm freaking out right now because I like all of your movies. So thank you so much, Sean. Hold on the line and Michael, I'm freaking out right now and he's not even here. Michael will get your information and send that card off to you. And say hi to Steve Shapiro, do you promise?
I certainly do.
Have a great night, Sean. Have a great weekend. Yeah, that's Back to the Future is one of my favorite movies of all time. I just and all the movies, by the way. So Nick D is doing a summer of Robert Zemeckis. And so every month he's featuring. He did Used Cars last week. He'll be doing Back to the Future next month. And so throughout the summer, he will be doing all those movies. So I'm very excited about that.
By the way, Used Cars, we should have talked to Rob about that in the last segment.
Used Cars?
Yeah. Well, because he and I were talking about the super obscure movie. Not you, Rob. The other guy.
Rob Austin.
Yeah, Rob.
Yes.
We were talking about super obscure movies that he's seen that you know, withstand the test of time and hold up well. And Used Cars was one of those really obscure movies that I thought was pretty good.
Oh, I don't tell Nick D. And don't tell Robert Zemeckis.
Yeah.
I've never seen Used Cars.
No.
Whoa! I know. Yeah. I've got to go back and see that movie. I got a shake of the head from Representative Martwick. All right.
Yeah. How do you do that after that gushing?
I know. I've seen a lot of his movies, but I used to take the 68 Northwest Highway bus to the Park Ridge Theater when I was a kid. Like, I started taking
Pickwick.
Yes, I started taking the bus when I was really really young. My parents, mm-hmm. when we were kids, we all jumped on public transportation like
all
it was nothing.
Time,
I think
right?
I was like 8 or 9 when I started taking the bus by myself, and because also the bus came right in front of my house. The 60, I lived on Northwest Highway right over by there, and I would hop on the 68, go to the Pickwick by myself. I watched that movie so many times.
How'd you pay for the bus?
With coins. I didn't even have a token.
You didn't have
I don't
CTA
think I.
Tokens?
I don't think even that long ago in the 80s, I think it was change. I can't remember if I had tokens or not. I feel like I had change. I don't know. Maybe because it was that token. Because it was about the size of a dime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a bizarre story you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do this. So a friend of mine's mom used to work for the CTA. She was in the toll booth. And you remember when they switched, they were raising the prices on those? God, I don't know if I can get her in trouble on this. I'm pretty sure I could. And that's okay. Because anyway, she would, you know, you used to be able to buy them at Dominick's. So she would buy them at Dominick's at the lower price on her credit card, so she would get the mileage on her credit card for like the airlines, and then sell them in the booth at the high.
Yeah.
As we wind down and get ready for Matt Bubala to take over, tell me something good. 312-981-7200. What's making you smile tonight? I'm excited because, and I know I did this for my it's something good last night, but I will be headlining the Nerd Fest, the Chicago Nerd Fest Comedy Festival at Stage 773. Elliot Serrano and I take the stage at 10 p.m., but there are all kinds of great shows leading up to that beforehand. And we've got prizes because we have games. We have games, we have prizes. We're going to be doing some storytelling about our nerdy childhoods. As I've said on this show before, there's nerds, there's geeks, and I was a dork. And I'm okay with that. I'm totally fine with that. So we'll be telling stories about that. And we would love to have you guys. We've got some action figures to give away. I've got some swag from WGN Radio to give away and some other fun stuff. Tomorrow night at Stage 773 at 10 p.m. Yeah, so.
Very nice. I won't be able to make it, unfortunately. Remember the Filament Theater where you did your New Year's Eve show? So they're having a fundraiser tomorrow night. They do an annual fundraiser, a Bob Dylan birthday bash fundraiser.
I've been to that. You invited me 2 years ago.
Have. I will. It's tomorrow.
Oh, so. How fun. What time does that start?
Seven.
Seven? I might be able to stop on my, well, I have to pick up a costume from Chicago Costume.
Next door.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'm going to the one on Fullerton, but yes, they have the big warehouse. Montrose. The Chicago Costume is on Montrose.
Oh, Chicago Costume.
Yeah, nope.
Not the other place. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
On Montrose. It's the Chicago Costume. I want to thank Cortland for providing. Well, I'm not telling people what I'm wearing, but if you know my Instagram page, you know, you'll get an idea of which one I chose for tomorrow.
Nice.
And so we're very excited about that. Yes, yeah, so that's going to be tomorrow night at the Filament Theater for your event.
Yes.
Are you playing?
I am.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's I love that theater. We have to figure out another date to do a show at the Filament Theater, some music comedy, and again, more game shows. I'm trying to decide. I still have David Plyer's Bozo Bucket, so we might play Chuck and Candy from Chairs with tomorrow night.
That
at
Nerd Fest. That was so much fun. We had such a good time.
Why are you looking at me like that, Dave?
That sounds like a lot of fun.
We did that. We did the first show as a family show. So we had a lot of kids there, and we had them. And I had prizes for everybody. I got a lot of stuff from American Science Surplus and from local businesses. So is that your something good, or do you want to tell us something? That's your something good?
That's my something good. Excellent. I'm looking forward to a little Bob Dylan tomorrow night.
That's a great show. So I'm sorry that's a conflict with my show.
Me too.
Well, you can go to the Bob Dylan show if you want to see the performance at the Filament Theater at 7, and then you can still make it over to Stage 773 and see my show. So I'm just saying. Dave, what do you want to tell us? Tell me something good.
Well, you're
I know, I did.
You pointed to Eric.
I did. I did, and I moved. But you were looking down when I went this way. I was like, wait a minute. I don't,
I have two things. First of all, I have to give a shout out to the 309, the listener that I was getting
engaged with
earlier, because after we had our little tete-a-tete, and he called me a smartass, he then also texted and said, I give you guys a lot of credit for reading my texts that are in opposition to what you're talking about. I appreciate you doing that. Always enjoy the show. Good night.
Thank you, 309.
Which I think was a very nice, classy thing, and that's what's necessary to restore civility to our world.
Agreed. Let's keep doing that.
That's one. And then I have to say, so I've been producing the video montage for my son's forthcoming bar mitzvah, which is a week from tomorrow, which is why I will not be in the show a week from tonight. And so it's like a trip down memory lane.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You know, going through literally more than 10,000 photos and 1,000 videos and
love that.
You know, all this stuff and you know, most of which you remember, but not all of it. And you know, it's just it's kind of an amazing thing to watch your kid, you know, grow up in pictures and video.
That's one of the reasons why I love on my phone when we have the albums and you can like just pick someone by the face recognition. Right. I can go all the way back to when I like first started taking pictures in 2012 of like Griffin, and so I'll like flip through those sometimes. I agree. Yeah. That's wonderful.
And fortunately, in preparing the video montage, montage. My son has a Three Dog Night song named after him, or maybe the other way around. No, actually, neither way. Eli's Coming.
Yes.
Great song, Eli's Coming. So
that's great.
So for those coming to the bar mitzvah, yep, who are up at night, who are up right now, go to bed. But
yes,
it does start the video montage, the song Eli's Coming.
That's wonderful. And Eric?
I am possibly going to be joining my cousin Dave Mueller to go see his daughter Natalie in a production of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson at the Three Brothers Theater up in Waukegan tomorrow night.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. A
lot going on this weekend. Oh, cool. When we come back, before we go and turn it over to Mabubala, I want to tell you what our show is next week for Binge and Uncork, and some of the responses we've been getting about Cobra Kai, too, by the way. More after this on 720 WGN.